Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good. It's good to be saved.
Sure.
Shoot. It's good to be saved.
Sure.
Do my, come on, guys. You can do better. My arm is hurting. I can do better than that. It's good to be saved.
Sure.
That's much better. Okay, let me thank Pastor Byron and his family, the church, the Aaron transporting, looking out. It's been a good time. It's been a precious time. Good to get to know your preacher and the wife. And the preacher's wife, where is she at? Amen. Thank you so much for making us feel at home, your care of us, and the love shown and extended toward us. And it speaks a lot. And I keep on telling the pastor that it speaks a lot about when you go to somebody's church, and I've learned that, depending on how the church receives you, speaks a lot about the pastor in the pulpit. Most times the church will take on the character of the pastor. And I've grown to appreciate him even more. And we're talking to him and getting his burden. And because we share a lot in common. And God makes no mistakes. And he put people together. I found out if you desire to honor God, and God gives you a burden, God tells you what to do, and you step out by faith, trusting him, he takes care of the rest. And he brings people in your life to accomplish his purpose and his mission. And so, really from the bottom of our hearts, Brother Adrian and myself, I'd like to thank the church and thank you guys for everything. It was an honor to fellowship with you. And it was an honor to cook last night. And we hope you didn't go too often to the washroom. And it was good. And I'm looking to conclude this part of the trip, and then we head to Iowa tomorrow and be there for the weekend, and then Monday we fly to Atlanta, and then Tuesday fly home. Please be much in prayer for me and Brother Adrian also. He has his anniversary service next week, and you pray that God would do a special work. He has a guest speaker coming in, and pray that God would awake the church and souls will be saved. The name of the church is Berea Baptist Church in St. Vincent. Now pray for us also at Ambassador Baptist Church. We have a heavy burden to see God do a special work in the Caribbean. And pray that God would give me wisdom and discernment. And pray that God would keep me humble. And let the doors opening. I covet your prayers, please. It's difficult to say no to Brother Lugadano. So I get home on Tuesday, and on the 5th of March, I head back to Buffalo, New York. I'll be there until the 17th to preach at a missions conference. And I really need your prayers. God would strengthen this frail body, and that God would give the message that is required, a message that is required to see missions spread across the world. And if you do nothing else, just pray. Pray that God would sustain. It's been a long week, and everything that's done, it's done because of God. It's done because of His honor and glory. It's nothing that we could do. It's nothing that I can do. But it's God's Spirit. And I pray that you take the messages in that context, that God gave me these messages to give you. And the message I'm preaching tonight, to sum it all up. And I pray you receive that as from God. Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8. We read verse number 8 and then from 12 through 15. I will use the chapter as we try to conclude our special nights of meeting. Again, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for, again, the encouragement. Exodus chapter 8 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, 'Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord.'" Look at verse number 12. "Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh. Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses." Moses was a mighty man of God. Moses was a mighty man of God. Moses was a mighty man of God. And God used him in a tremendous way. God did according to the word of Moses. Verse 14. "And it gathered them together upon heaps. And the land did what?" That's amazing. Look at verse 15. "But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said." Let's go back to verse number 8 again. "And Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, 'Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people.' And then he made a promise, 'I will let the people go.'" But verse number 15, when the frogs were gone, not too far, but in the rivers, and we'll see that, Pharaoh hardened his heart and went back on his word, went back on his promise to God. Father, thank you for the wonderful time and the tremendous message and faith in you and your power, what you're able to do through us. Reminded of that through Brother Adrian and the message you gave him. God, as we try to conclude this, we pray that you'd move by the power of your Holy Spirit. Again, it's not by might or manner of presentation, but God, by your Spirit, do what we cannot do as men in the hearts of your people. Mindful of the work of the enemy, we pray you bind his forces and exalt yourself tonight in this place. Do that work tonight. Be careful, give praise, honor, and glory. We ask in Christ's name for his sake. Amen. At exactly 8:02 in the morning on May the 8th, 1902, almost 30,000 people died instantly. One of the worst natural disasters this world is yet to see. The cause was a volcanic eruption of Mount Pelee in Martinique. Martinique is neighbor to St. Lucia. You stay up north and you could see the island, the French island of Martinique. By the way, I'm finding out there are lots of volcanoes around the area here. And we're not too distant from St. Lucia. Most of the Caribbean islands are made up with volcano and all that stuff. But the volcano first began to misbehave, if it is said, a full week. One whole week, it began to misbehave and show signs that something was not normal. But with all the warnings from the volcano, the authorities made no effort to move the people. And the people themselves did not heed the warning and move out. procrastination will send many people to hell and send many in the path of danger. Our text speaks of the danger of delaying. This passage speaks of the third miracle, the second plague to come upon Egypt. God was in direct attack against the frog-headed goddesses who, from Egypt, is believed to have breathed life from her nostrils into human beings created by her husband. There are many gods, or there were many gods in Egypt. One of these gods were the gods of frogs. This plague was clearly designed to show Egypt that Jehovah alone was God. In the midst of this scene sits a ruler called Pharaoh, who could, within his power, and we'll see the stubbornness of his heart, but could have saved Egypt from all the plagues. But he chose to spend, that's the theme of the message, another night with the frogs. How many people like frogs? Like frogs. How many people don't like frogs? If you see a frog in the room, you won't get in there. Put your hands up. Come on, let's be honest. We're in the house of God. Amen. How many people don't like frogs, period? You don't want to be near the frog. This passage, this message, tells us the consequences sometimes of one man and the impact it can have on an entire nation. One man and the consequences it can have on his whole family. And the dangers of procrastination. Throughout this week and the weeks before, you've heard tremendous messages. To me, just preaching. Your preacher is a tremendous preacher. Been preaching away. Throughout this week, you've heard preaching. Some of you have come to me and say, thank you so much. Good preaching. But Adrian talked about the matter of faith and the power of God to work in our lives to accomplish the purpose. But you want to have a decision to make. So whether we're going to serve God or not. And over and over and over, warnings have been given to us. No one here will be innocent if God decides to bring judgment upon us. God's desire for his church is for revival, for his ultimate best. But here we find one person stands in the way and would not give in to the powers of God and even made promises that he did not keep. You've got decisions to make tonight. All the messages that you've heard this week would have been of no use if it did not impact your life. And if you didn't make decisions now, tonight, throughout the week, that I want change. I am not going to walk that path again. I'm going to walk a different path. And as I examine the text, we see Pharaoh decided that he'd rather disobey God and spend another night with the frogs. That's amazing as you look at the text. Note, first of all, as you examine the text, it was a calamity for the Egyptians and for Pharaoh and for his family. First of all,
It was disgusting. The Bible says, from verse number 6, and Aaron stretched out his hands over the waters of Egypt. And the Bible says, and the frogs came up and did what? Covered the land of Egypt. Upon that, the magicians did theirs also. And also what it produced was frogs. So the whole land of Egypt was covered with frogs. Could you imagine you in your bedroom and the frogs are on your bed with you? And in spite of you trying to get rid of them, they'll come back. You get up out of your bedroom, you go to your bathroom, and the frogs are there. You go into your kitchen, and the frogs are there. It was a disgusting thing. But not just disgusting, it was disturbing. It was disturbing because the frogs were considered sacred. Because the frogs were God. And they could not kill the frogs. They could not get. When I grew up, and my mom would see a frog, I didn't mind frogs. I would hold them, and I still do. I could handle it. I'll just hold it by the leg and throw it out. But what my mom would ask to do is to take salt and put over it. That would kill the frog. Sometimes a frog would go underneath the house, and you'd have problems. You'd have problems. So it was not just disgusting as far as the decision by Pharaoh was concerned. It was disturbing because they could not kill the frogs. They could not get rid of the frogs. It was all over. It was devastating as far as the nation of Egypt was concerned because everywhere they went, the frogs were there. Not one single person in Egypt escaped the frogs. It was everywhere. How would you like to live in Egypt around that time? But it was defiling. Because you see, the same temple they designated to worship the goddess frog, the frogs were in the temple. And they couldn't worship. The frogs defiled their own temple. They couldn't do anything about it. What caused that? Because one man decided to have a showdown with God. One man decided, I will not keep my word. I will delay in keeping my word from God and not let the children of Israel go and worship their God. That's amazing. We have the situation, not just that matter of disgusting, but as I said, it was a thoughtless choice. Because Pharaoh's desire, I believe genuinely, was to be freed from the frogs. Look in chapter 8. Look at verse number 8. Well, verse number 6 and 7 says, the frogs covered the land. Then verse number 8, then Pharaoh called for Moses and said, entreat the Lord for us that he will take away the frogs. Pharaoh had a genuine desire to be freed from the frogs. But for Pharaoh himself to let the people go because of the frogs meant that he would say to Egypt that Jehovah God is stronger than his idol gods. But God had already proven to Pharaoh that he was stronger than all their gods. Do you remember? about a serpent. Moses stood in front of Pharaoh and said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, who is your God? Moses let down the rod, became a serpent, became a snake. And the magicians came and dropped all their rods down, and all their rods became snakes. And one rod swallowed all the other rods. That was a devastating defeat for Pharaoh. But he still would not let them go. God proved himself then. Then Pharaoh refused. Moses went and touched the water. Every water became blood. God had proven to Pharaoh that he was the God of heaven. And there was no other God beside him. But Pharaoh still procrastinated. He wanted deliverance. But his pride got in the way. If he would humble himself as ruler and say that the God, Jehovah God, is stronger than his God, that would mean he'd lose power. Pharaoh wouldn't afford that. He can't afford to show weakness. He can't afford to show humility. He can't afford to admit that he's wrong and Moses is right. And because of procrastination, he continued. He refused to let the people go. His decision to put off for another day, knowing that God was stronger than his God, put his people in danger. Put himself in danger. That's what procrastination does. How many of y'all, well, let me rephrase that. How many of us know we've got critical decisions to make and put it off? I don't know about you, I do. I always believe I have time to make decisions. The truth about it is I don't have time. The truth about it is we don't have time. You don't have time to make spiritual decisions. When God's Holy Spirit speaks to you, then you must yield to God's Holy Spirit. When God says do, then you must do. If God says jump, then you must jump. If God says give me your life, you're not saved tonight. God has been knocking on your door. God has been speaking to you about trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And you keep on putting it off. You keep on putting it off. God says, my spirit will not always strive with man. There comes a point in time when the door of grace will be closed. The more you put off making spiritual decisions, the more easy it becomes to put it off the next time. So Pharaoh was a thoughtless decision in not yielding to God. I'm asking a question. How many of us just keep on resisting? We know the truth. We know we should or what we shouldn't do. We know that. We come playing a game. We play a game. We think life is a game. But life is not a game. Life is serious. And decisions you make will impact your life and the life of your family, the life of society. Pharaoh, why procrastinate? I have time. I'm okay. Well, one danger is past, and maybe God will forget. Isn't that how we do it? I don't know about you, but in the Caribbean, when we have a storm or hurricane passing through, or after the natural disaster, everybody goes to church. I don't know if it happens here. But after natural disaster, earthquake or something happened to your family, everybody runs to church. Everybody calls for somebody they think is spiritual. But a week or two after that, we go back to our natural life. We don't care. God speaks, and we should listen. When we don't, it's a thoughtless decision. Think. A lot of people not make decisions and don't think it through. People just kill each other and then run into hiding. That don't make sense to me. I mean, if you're man enough to do the crime, just report yourself to the police. Why are you hiding? Why are you running? I'm thinking. I mean, if you steal the money, stand up for the consequences. Think. The saying goes, look before you leap. Think. Young people, think. That's why God gave you a brain. And if you're saved, that's why he put his Holy Spirit in you. Think. Don't make thoughtless decisions. Don't delay in making spiritual decisions. Don't delay. That's what Pharaoh did. I don't know why. Just gotta stay there for a while. How many fathers are making the spiritual decisions to hurt their families? How many mothers are making spiritual decisions and hurting their families? How many of you think it's all I have to do is take care of my family and give them food? Give them the best clothes. Don't care about a spiritual life. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. Well, my job is to provide for them. And you do a good job at that. But you forget their spiritual life. I am for helping people. In fact, we're involved in that. And I learned from Haiti. But listen. We're going to Iowa tomorrow. And I'm told it's cold out there. Listen to me. It's good to have heat. Amen. It's good. In the Caribbean, we have a lot of air condition. Because we have the opposite. It's hot. So we don't need heat. We need air to come and cool down the room. And you could think somebody can go through their life. Poor. Begging. And the Salvation Army or the church, which is okay, comes and help them, which is okay. But to think they die and go and spend the rest of eternity in hell is worse than they not eating hell. It's worse than not having heat or cold out here. It's worse than not being able to eat or not being able to put clothes on you. Because that's eternity. Listen, church, think. There are spiritual decisions you must make. Don't delay. Don't be thoughtless. Don't procrastinate. When God speaks, move. And I find that was a thoughtless decision by Pharaoh. Moses, entreat God. Pray that these frogs will be taken out. But as soon as they're taken out, I change my mind. I will not let them go. Things go back to normal. Then lastly, it was a tragic decision. You know, look at verse number 10. And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mightest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. Watch this. And the frog shall depart from thee and from thine house, from thy servants, from thy people, and they shall remain in the rivers only. And then, look at verse number 15. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord have said. Look at verse number 16. Then the Lord says, okay, Pharaoh, you want more? I'll give you more. In all the further plagues that God added to Pharaoh and the nation of Egypt, all the other plagues, the sores, everything else, the last one I thought about was the first son. You understand? Brother, who's your firstborn? You love him, don't you? I know you love all your children, but there's something special about firstborn. Those of you who have children, there's some, brother, where's your firstborn? Is your firstborn here? There's something special about firstborn. Ladies, the first person that come out of your womb, there's something special about that. Could you imagine the soldier standing by Pharaoh and saying, Pharaoh, it's your fault. My firstborn is dead. Could you imagine Pharaoh's wife look at Pharaoh, say, Pharaoh, it's your fault because you hardened your heart and you did not make spiritual decisions on time? Could you imagine Pharaoh's general standing before Pharaoh and say, Pharaoh, it's your fault, we lose our firstborn? Then could you imagine the cries throughout the land of Egypt because no family was spared? Every family in Egypt, their firstborn died. Because why? Procrastination. Isn't it amazing that what Pharaoh did not want to let go, he let go? After the death of the firstborn, Pharaoh called Moses by night and said, get out of here. Get out. Get out. We don't want to see you. In fact, we don't want to see you so much, you will take the gold. Take the gold. Take the silver. Get out. How about Pharaoh said that from the first instance? You see, the consequences of procrastination. There are some people here tonight that God has been speaking about particular things in your life. And you've been putting up making a spiritual decision to serve God. There are people here tonight, and throughout the week we preach. And there are some things that you have done, or you have said, or you have behaved toward your parents, toward your church, toward each other. There are some attitudes that you've displayed. God have touched your heart about it. There's some of you children here who are rude to your parents. You answer back. And you know God have said, children, obey your parents in the Lord. There are some church members who are probably displaying, I don't know, rude attitude toward your preacher. You know it's wrong. You know God has spoken to you. I don't know where God has spoken to you this week. Or the week before, or the week before, message have been preached. Or you going down the road and somebody's singing a song and God get a hold of your heart. You know there are some sacrifices you have to make. You know there are some decisions you have to make, but yet still you're holding back. The consequence will be disaster. You here tonight, you're not saved. Yield your life now. Now to God. Trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You know, preacher, a few months before I came up here, I think it was a 21-year-old, going to college. I mean, a Christian, actively involved in the school. She had a wonderful testimony in the school. She went to sleep, got up, Her family got up, not hearing her. Check it out, dropped dead. Dropped dead. You and I have no lease on life. Life is precious and it's given to us as a gift from God. And I heard Brother Marvin Smith use that illustration in St. Lucia at a conference. And he took a rope. He didn't have a rope. And he was saying, our lifespan, if you would stretch this out, our lifespan is up to this. From here to there. That's our lifespan on earth. But you have all of this in eternity. There is no end into eternity. And all we do is that we make all our decisions based from here to there. That's all we do. We make our decisions just based from here to there. When we have all this lifespan, because life is eternal, either in heaven or in hell. What decisions are you making? Why are you procrastinating? Why are you delaying? Listen. I don't know what's happening on the inside of me. I may look healthy, but I don't know. I may have a bellyache or a headache or something, and I've got some terrible shoulder pains. I'm going to go back. When I go back home, I'm going to go to the doctor and take an x-ray, see what's happening in there. I may not reach home, St. Lucia. I may go to the hotel tonight. The plan is to fly out tomorrow. I may just pass out. I may die. You don't have a lease on life. So why do we take chances? Stop procrastinating. Young people, stop taking chances with your life. Adults, stop taking chances making spiritual decisions. God speaks to you. Now is the accepted time. God speaks to you. Now to get it right. Now, tonight. Don't delay. Don't hold back. Whatever it is God has been saying to you, answer tonight. Tonight. Now. You know what I know? I know God has been speaking to every person in this room throughout this week. Every one of us. I'm preaching, and God is speaking to me in my own life. Let's pray. Procrastination. What is it that God has put his finger on throughout the week? Or maybe tonight? That you make a decision on. What is it? Salvation? Commitment? Faithfulness? Being more consistent? What is it? Don't spend another night with the frogs. They are not good companies. Get out from companying the frogs. And have angels as your company. And have spiritual people as your company. You say, preacher, I need to stop procrastinating. There are some decisions that I have to make. And I am going to make it now. And don't wait for tomorrow. Because there are consequences. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up? God bless you. 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 Put them down. God bless you.
Preacher, would you pray for me? I've got some decisions to make.